North Shore University Health System provides superior clinical care, academic excellence, and innovative research to the individuals in the communities we serve. We are proud to present our physician experts, along with North Shore's approach to health and wellness. Here's our host, Melanie Cole.
Your children are in football. It's that time of the year. Sports are going on. Are you worried about your children getting a concussion? There's been so much in the media lately about it. What do you have to do to try and prevent them from having a concussion? And would you know what to do if they got one? My guest today is Dr. Elizabeth Pieroth. She's a clinical neuropsychologist at North Shore University Health System. Welcome to the show, Dr. Pieroth. So tell
Thanks
us about
me.
Concussions. What are the most common sports where children would suffer concussions?
The most common sports are football, soccer, hockey, wrestling, and lacrosse.
So this time of year, we put our children in this equipment. Can we trust the equipment? I mean, in football, they're wearing helmets. Do we trust the quality of the equipment these days to protect our children from concussion, or are there other things we should be doing?
That's a good question. And one of the things, the most important thing when it comes to equipment is the fit. The research has shown very consistently that truthfully, the name on the outside of the helmet makes very little difference. It's really about the fit. And that's why it's really important to make sure that both the athlete, their coaches, and their parents understand how to properly fit not only the helmet, but the shoulder pads and other protective equipment. Helmets were designed to prevent skull fractures, and they do a great job. We rarely get a skull fracture in most contact sports. They were never designed to prevent concussion, and the truth is they have limited effectiveness to reduce both the severity and the frequency of concussion. So, people need to make sure that they're not spending a lot of money buying very expensive helmets with the belief that somehow their kid is protected entirely from a concussion.
So what can we do to help prevent them, if we can at all?
There's a number of things. I mean, one, again, when it comes to equipment, you really want to make sure it's properly fitted. You want to make sure it's not worn. When it comes to helmet, football helmets, it can be reconditioned, but you want to make sure it's not too old and hasn't been reconditioned too many times. You want to make sure the padding hasn't been degraded and there's enough air in the helmet. When it comes to just coaching is a really important part of reducing concussions. We see that when kids don't follow proper technique. The thing that we see most often in football is that kids have a tendency to drop their heads. And a very high percentage of concussions come from head-to-head contact because they're dropping their heads and running to each other. So when kids are taught to keep their head up and keep their head out of the tackling play, that can make a big difference in reducing concussions. We want to make sure that, and this is true for all sports, that they really have to make sure the coaches are teaching proper technique, safe technique. You want to make sure that the kid doesn't have an overly aggressive style of play. We see those kids in our clinics frequently, the kids who just aren't all that concerned about their bodies and get all kinds of injuries. You want to make sure that you're seeing the correct amount of practice, that you're not having, multiple days of contact practice. Our kids don't need to be doing contact practice in football 5 days a week, or heading practice in soccer 5 days a week, or lots and lots of checking in hockey and those sort of sports. So we really want to be talking about exposure to contact as well.
So just like they have to learn proper biomechanics to avoid injuries, they learn technique so that they're not coming in certain positions that would predispose them to concussion. Now, if it happens, and we hope that there's buddy system going on out in the field, Dr. Pieroth, where the kids can kind of recognize some of these symptoms, I'd love for you to give the parents listening some symptoms that they might notice if nobody else does for our children to signal that, get them to a doctor, they may have concussion.
Absolutely. One of the things to just differentiate between is that there are the signs and symptoms of concussion. And signs are those things that are observable by other people, so coaches and parents and teammates. Symptoms are those things that the athlete themselves report. So the signs that the parents should be looking for are imbalance, wobbly, that kid who gets up from a hit and is just walking unsteadily, the kid who is confused, the child who is slow to respond. Slowness in responding is a very common occurrence. The kid who doesn't recall what just happened, the kid who may have some behavioral changes. One of the things they don't talk about a lot is that people can have what we call an emotional discontrol, and they can be very emotional, agitated or tearful or goofy. And sometimes those sort of behaviors are what will get picked up, particularly by their teammates, and say, you know, Johnny is acting oddly. And if kids understand that those are symptoms, that, you know, you can educate them to sort of then alert the adults. The things the kids themselves will report most frequently is headache, although headache in and of itself, it may not be a concussion, but they'll talk about feeling dizzy, having visual changes, having ringing in their ears, feeling sensitive to light or sound, feeling nauseous, feeling out of it, foggy. Kids will just say, my head's not right, I can't concentrate. They feel like they're slowed in their thinking. They feel more tired. So those are the things that the athlete themselves may report that may be suggestive of concussion. And I say may be suggestive because the problem with all of these signs and symptoms is that they can occur for a lot of other things. So we don't want parents or coaches trying to make that distinction. We're not asking coaches to, you know, be on the sidelines and diagnosing concussion. We just want them to be aware of the signs and symptoms and say, okay, we need to get them over to a medical provider who can make that diagnosis or not.
Can we give them Tylenol? Is that okay if they're suffering from a headache?
Well, you know, the reason why they don't want the first 48 hours after a concussion is that any head injury is that you certainly want to make sure there isn't any evidence of cerebral bleed. So we don't want kids getting what's called NSAIDs, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, because they have blood thinning properties. And so we don't want kids to get those medications. And typically we don't recommend that kids get take Tylenol even the first, first day, because you don't want to mask symptoms. One of the signs that something is more serious is going on is if you see an increase in the severity of the headaches and a decrease in their functioning. And if you're masking it with, medications, we don't want that. So, but beyond that first 48 hours, it really isn't evidence that it makes a difference. So if a kid is suffering, and give them what helps at that point. So, oftentimes kids will have low-level headaches, and parents are giving them medications so they can get through the day at school, which is important.
And in just the last 2 minutes, Dr. Pierroth, and this is such a great topic, and you're giving really good, very sound information. Please give us your best advice on returning to play and school and why people should come to North Shore University Health System for their care.
Well, it's a great question. I mean, I think what's happened is good advice, in my opinion, it has been sort of extrapolated to extremes that don't make a lot of sense. There really isn't any evidence that keeping these kids out of school for an extended period of time is helpful, and in fact can be really deleterious. And we get increased levels of stress. Kids are missing a lot of school, really overwhelmed, away from their teammates, away from their classmates. So you really want to work with somebody who's a concussion specialist to make sure that you're getting an appropriate plan that's individualized. You always want to make sure that you're looking at that kid's demands and what classes they may be able to manage, what classes they can't, making sure that their grades are not being affected. And, again, making sure it's individualized. I'm not a fan of these sort of blanket recommendations for each kid. And when it comes to return to play, you really have to be very confident, particularly in a contact sport, that we have full evidence that someone has recovered. So that means that they need to be asymptomatic, without symptoms, at both rest and with exertion. Their balance has to be intact, and we have to make sure there isn't any evidence of residual cognitive impairment. So those three things together are the current standard of how we judge recovery. And so we don't want kids saying, old school is sort of, after you don't have any headaches, then you can go back a week later or 2 weeks later, and that isn't good enough anymore, because we really need to make sure that, one, that athletes are being honest, because they can be dishonest with us a lot and still having symptoms but lie about it. But we also want to make sure that we don't have any objective data of continued symptoms before we put a kid back to play. So that means that parents really need to make sure that they're working with somebody who's experienced in concussion assessment, particularly with athletes. I mean, there really is something really great about athletes and their approach to sports. But you want to make sure that you're working with somebody who's comfortable with working with athletes and had that experience and is respectful of the role of that sport in a kid's life.
Thank you so much. You're listening to North Shore Health and Wellness. For more information, you can go to northshore.org. That's northshore.org. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening, and have a great day.